This podcast episode is presented by TÜV SÜD, your partner for hydrogen safety and efficiency. Over the past decades, we have supported a large number of successful hydrogen projects and have built up industry-leading expertise. Our ecosystem helps you master the complex challenges of the hydrogen market.
Welcome to the Hydrogen Bar. Nice to see you again. And another episode of your favorite podcast on hydrogen and fuel cells. And I'm, as always, extremely happy that I have so lovely and beautiful guests here with me. And on the one hand, it's, as always, it's Johannes here. Hello, Johannes. Thank you very much for coming.
Hi, Martin. Happy to be here, of course. And?
And on the other hand, yeah.
Yeah, now we both can introduce at the same time Thomas Frohn. Hi, Thomas. He joins us from TÜV SÜD.
Yes, hello. Hello, Johannes. Hello, Martin. What a nice introduction, Martin. Yes, I'm happy to be involved. You two have a fantastic podcast for all our hydrogen friends. So great to discuss a bit of the hydrogen world. Together.
Thank you very much for coming. Yeah, thank you very much for coming and thank you very much for your time. And I always try to come up with a new kind of introduction and most times I don't get it, but yeah.
Got me flattered here, so thanks.
Not the topic of today's episode, as you might have imagined.
Yeah, the topic of today's episode is regulation in very briefly described. We have here really an expert from TÜV SÜD joining us today in this sponsored by TÜV SÜD episode. And Thomas Frohn is the expert. He comes directly out of the heart of the fuel cell vehicle homologation business. Is this right to say? Yeah. Maybe Thomas, you add a little bit more detail to my very brief introduction because you know yourself better than I do.
Yes. Yeah, gladly. So, my name is Thomas from TÜV SÜD, as you mentioned, or more specific from the TÜV SÜD division mobility. And as the name suggests, it is somewhat about moving people or goods on the road. I am within TÜV SÜD for almost 3 years now and started in that, as you guys said, in that very classic field of homologation. Yeah? So the process behind the legal permission to market entry. And meanwhile, for over 1 year, and let's say in that great field of hydrogen, my task is to develop and establish our hydrogen products and services for the mobility division. So I do this in the team of Motion, which is shaping our innovative services, like it's like our R&D department, if you like. And for me, it is with a focus on a safe market entry and operation of hydrogen mobility. So this can include existing services like the homologation part, especially when it comes to new requirements, to uncertainties, global markets, you name it. But also new kind of services, like the determination of the rest value of a hydrogen system, for example, or fuel cell requirements in general, which leave some question marks at the moment. And of course, you two discussed it several times in your podcast already. So hydrogen for mobility gained international attraction. Yeah, so we do this globally with our experts, which is also part of my task. So bringing these experts together for the projects with regard to mobility applications.
A few weeks ago, we discussed with your colleague, Andy Scheffler, about homologation and type approval of hydrogen-powered vehicles. So now for today, we want to go a bit more into detail and speak about a specific topic regarding regulations in the European Union. And in fact, there will be a significant change in the regulatory framework happening this summer in the European Union. One of the relevant regulations has been a relevant regulation so far, will be repealed. Can you explain a bit, Thomas, what's the background of this decision and what's the reason for this decision maybe?
Yes, in the context of fuel cell electric vehicles, the manufacturer might actually want to sell the vehicles after development. And for that, as my colleague explained already, you need a legal permission to access the market in Europe. That's a so-called type approval. Now, everyone who has looked up the legal requirements for the European market, for the EU market, since 2009 until basically now, came across the EC 79/2009. The EC stands for European Commission. And with that regulation, you had a guideline for testing and approval in the European Union. But on 5th of July in 2022, so this year, this regulation will be repealed and no longer legally applicable.
Okay.
And in fact, it will be replaced. So first of all, we noticed that this repeal or replacement has raised some questions, alternating questions. Because some components will be left without a regulation in the future. Since they are simply not part of the replacements. Or another example is the Friends of Liquid Hydrogen were left without any requirements when the repeal was announced in 2019. So, yeah, Martin, I may speak for both of us. We thought it is a good line to actually outline the current status. And the basic background of this decision is made on European level. So the components that are not included anymore in the global regulation are not considered to be safety critical.
So this means there has been done a step now, basically, where an old regulation will be repealed. The new is already in place, right? But the new has a smaller scope than the previous one. I think we said about fittings, pipes, sensors that are not part of the regulation anymore and basically do not need to run through a standard specific known testing validation scheme, right?
True. Yeah, that was also a bit of the motivation why we actually wrote that white paper. And we showed the hierarchy of these legal requirements. So we are talking about the European Union here. And in general, the requirements for type approval of motor vehicles are written or referenced by the EU. And in the European Union, the framework regulation for this is the EU 2018-858. At least when we look at the passenger cars and heavy duty vehicle.
Right.
So this regulation, on the other hand, is amended by the so-called General Safety Regulation in its second edition, actually. And it provides a requirement for the general road safety and protection issues. So with this as a background knowledge, the EU references three regulations for the homologation of hydrogen vehicles at the moment. And not only the vehicles, also their systems and components. And namely, you have the EC 79/2009, which will be repealed. You have a UN regulation, United Nations, the number 134, and the EU 2021-535. Whereas the last one can be applied from 6th of July, so with the repeal. And the UN regulation is actually our constant here. And now, as you said, so it sounds all pretty logical and easy, at least when you ignore all the different numbers. This sounds like higher mathematics, actually. But it was easy to visualize, at least. And nevertheless, the issue is that the scope of the EC 79/2009
is not identical.
So the actually older regulation was much more extensive. So in general, more things were to take into account here. And as you say, there are things like pressure regulators, material and so on not considered.
And so the question always is, if I am a manufacturer of pressure regulators, for example, or I want to end the regulation, EC79 is no longer in a place and I cannot get a type approval on my component, what do I have to do instead? So that is the question that we are seeing so many times in my professional life. I would say I get a call almost every day from from a customer asking, what do I have to do? What can I do when EC79 is repealed? And well, that's what is addressed in the position paper and the white paper you mentioned as well.
Yeah, again, that was something like our main motivation. So the questions were somehow alternating.
Yeah.
And what you can actually do, like we showed it in our pyramid scheme, we called it the general obligations of the manufacturer.
Yeah.
And on top of the pyramid, there's the regulation world, which is very high in the degree of obligation. In other words, a manufacturer has to fulfill the requirements written there, which is then equivalent to the so-called type approval, which on the other hand...
Which also include an authority like the Kraftverbundesamt here in Germany. So that's important to mention maybe that a type approval is not only up to the manufacturer or to the technical service, but there's always an authority like the Kraftverbundesamt included in the process.
Exactly. So you have three stakeholders. The authority, approval authority, whereas every country in the European Union has exactly one authority for that. The technical service, which is then named or notified by that approval authority, and the manufacturer, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the regulation world is also called a minimum requirement. So with this in mind, we showed the next level of norms and standards, but also state of technology. So what your competitors are doing or so, for example. This is not something which a manufacturer has to do necessarily, but which he can do, or which is in the natural interest of a manufacturer to do.
Yeah.
Because it takes a deeper look into the safety of the system. And also gets important in product liability cases, which we should not forget. So you all know these billion-dollar law cases in the USA, for example. So when the lawyers are coming, you might want that a proper risk evaluation has been performed. Based on the additional safety goals described in the world of standards. As of today, the 79-2009 is no longer legally binding. But it is somehow important.
So basically, you could say this is now turned into some kind of state-of-the-art knowledge that even though this regulation is not mandatory anymore, it still is there, everybody knows it, and therefore kind of developers will take it into account when they develop their products.
Yes, absolutely. And one very important here. So the scope of the UN regulation, or the two newer regulations, both of them, is smaller since the component scope only covers closure devices that isolate the hydrogen container from the rest of the storage system. And by definition, this includes only the pressure relief device, the check valve, and the shut-off valve. But now I take a hydrogen receptacle, for example. Of course, it's still important because it's also in direct contact with hydrogen, for example. So with the 79-2009, you have a verification, a testing basis at least. Without reaching a type approval at the end. So
you also mentioned liquid hydrogen before, and you also mentioned that EC79 would have left or would leave a quite big hole, so to say, in the regulatory framework for liquid hydrogen applications. But this new regulation that you have also mentioned, 2021-535, is somehow, filling this gap, right? So the idea is that liquid hydrogen for future applications, for at least some parts of the hydrogen systems you have just listed, the components that are respected there, the tank and primary closure devices, a type approval will be possible according to this new regulation 2021-535, right?
Exactly, absolutely correct. So I mentioned that after 2019, when the repeal was announced, the 2021/535 was not in place yet. So as the name indicates, it was published in 2021. So last year in March. Yeah. And yeah, of course, there were some question marks. But this shows exactly how the regulation world also works. So you do an implementation regulation for the GSR, and there you can fulfill the requirements. And basically, like in the new regulation, the scope is similar to the R134. So you have still many components missing out, but all the requirements for these, for the tank and for the three components I mentioned, they are actually copied from the 79/2009. They also mentioned it, especially for liquid hydrogen, with the recitals in the 2021-535, mentioning that the EC 79/2009 wasn't that bad at all. we also stated that, quoted that in our white paper. And this shows the basic motivation, and also that gaps can be filled, for example, by adopting these requirements.
Mm-hmm. So making a thought experiment, let's say I'm a manufacturer of some component, and before I needed to do this EC79 to kind of get the stamp on the product and have it ready, have it homologated, it can be used in a vehicle. Now, this is not possible anymore. Probably I can still test according to EC79 because it's general knowledge, but I don't need to. Or is there a need to test according to this standard? Is there a need to test to an other standard? How does the situation look like?
Yes, so you have no basis for a homologation anymore with the 79/2009, and as we showed with the different degrees of obligation. So this is not something in the future, the 79/2009, which you have to do, but it is still important because it shows you an extensive verification process. And also to come back to the liquid hydrogen again, as I said, it shows pretty well how a future solution could also look like. So you have requirements already written down. And for example, you do it in an implementation regulation. And so for these components that I mentioned, the EC79/2009 stays actually in place, just not with that name.
Right.
And of course, you have standards from informal working groups, from committees all around the world. So you can find requirements that you want to fulfill. Which is then your manufacturer duty, but not an official process that you have to fulfill.
Right.
And also, if you are a tier one supplier, it could be that the OEM, for example, gives you specifications how to test against. You see that for a fuel cell, for example, which has no regulation and no standards, in fact, in place. But still, there is a test procedure which can be applied. Based on the specification in general.
We should talk about certification or somewhere in the future, maybe also type approval of fuel cells in a separate episode, maybe. So that is a topic that is really not properly addressed from my perspective up to now. But I think that we can discuss in the future sometime, maybe.
It is a development process, you know, a transition phase, and you know that there are works going on also with regard to fuel cells and the components, the gaps, and so on.
Yeah. Well, I hope that we have not scared off our listeners with this very formal or very.
Yeah, thanks for thinking and saying that.
Yeah, sorry, Thomas.
So it is true. Yeah, the type approval procedure or the regulation world is not always and for everyone super exciting. like a football game where 10,000 people gather and cheer up when there's a new regulation published. Yeah, it would be nice to call my grandpa and talk about the new regulation in place and what a fantastic performance that was. But it is important to consider. It is necessary to consider legally binding.
So
very happy to discuss it with you.
Oh, if there should be an accident in the future, and you mentioned those $1 billion cases in the US, that is exactly why such a legal framework is extremely important. So you are on a legally safe side. And so it's always worth following the process, of course, and stay up to date. So that's extremely important.
So yeah, you can consider buying a hydrogen vehicle. It is as safe as any other vehicle can be if the right actions are taken along the way. So there's a development to be expected. As always, the start is rather slow, market maturity and so on. But once the market is booming, then regulations will be there in more detail, as well as the infrastructure will be there and whatsoever. So, and as we said, this doesn't only include the hydrogen storage system, which we can agree on is the safety critical part mainly.
Yes.
But also the fuel cell will be defined, for example, and so on.
Thank you very much, Thomas. Was a pleasure speaking with you. We should not forget, where can our listeners download the white papers? Well, I think there is no link that is so easy that we can simply mention it, right? Do you want to try?
Yeah, we can share it in your on your website, I guess.
Yes.
And on LinkedIn, you can follow up there.
Yeah, exactly. Of course. Yeah.
And we contact us directly.
Of course.
We are happy to support you.
We will add the link to the white paper, to the show notes of this episode. So if you scroll down in your podcast player, you should find the link to the white paper. We'll also have it on the website. So if you check our website, which is hydrogenbar.net, you look for today's episode with Thomas Frohn, you will also find the link to the white paper. And as Thomas has just mentioned, of course, it will be all around LinkedIn. So that is
in
a thing that is...
yes. All around LinkedIn, yeah.
So I am pretty sure if you're interested... You will find it.
And as we concluded, it is not an easy topic. So everyone is invited to reach out with questions, comments about or to the white paper and the whole procedure described as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And Thomas, I hope that we will meet here at the bar sometime in the future once again and maybe speak about certification or homologation or our type approval of fuel cells in this case and not only hydrogen storage vessels. But let's see what the future brings. I am excited about that.
Yeah, and we are involved in the works that are going around the globe, going on around the globe. Yeah, happy to do that in the future.
Yeah, thank you very much. Also from my side, Thomas, it was a super interesting insights into this, as we said, sometimes dry topic, but I think you did a very good job making it very, very easy to understand. Thank you very much for coming here to the Hydrogen Bar.
And to your listeners, if you want to get in contact with Thomas or also, of course, with Johannes and me, you can find the contact form on the website and you can use it and you can send us an email and then we'll share your thoughts and messages with Thomas as well. Well, that would be nice. And also nice would be if you would tune in for our next week's episode again. We will hear each other next week. Talk to you soon and goodbye.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Goodbye.